This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, how are you doing this week?
Tom, I'm doing well,
mm-hmm.
but I'm on the verge of starting to possibly lose my voice.
Oh, but well, that's perfect for a podcast.
I know, I make my living with these golden pipes,
yeah.
And now look what's happening.
What,
in the poorhouse.
What happened? Were you screaming at your wife or something? Is that how you lost your, you started losing your voice? I know that's
no.
something you do a lot.
That's not really something I do a lot. It's not something that I have the desire to do, and I wouldn't be able to do it anyway.
Well, I know. You always say, like, I don't want to do this, but you make me do it. But, Tim, yeah. Honestly, I don't think that's true.
Could you imagine screaming at somebody in a New York City apartment? That'd be so uncomfortable.
Yeah, because literally the whole block would hear it.
Yeah, it stinks. And that's not why I don't scream at my... we're a minute into this, and you're... And
yeah.
I'm always...
Yeah, I mean,
like,
Tim,
that's a really bad attitude on the podcast lately.
Tim, that... Yeah, you know, if the first thing that pops into your head... That the first reason why you shouldn't scream at your wife is just the neighbors, then I don't know. I think you've got to really reevaluate things.
I don't think you heard the part where I said I have no desire to scream at my wife.
I know, but like I said though, you've said in the past you don't want to, but you have to.
How are you doing this week, Tom? Tom, let me tell you, off to a bad start here.
Uh-oh. Looks like I'm going to be the next one getting screamed at. Tim, I'm doing good, but we'll see what the rest of the week holds, because a lot of rumblings in the UFO community that some big stuff's going to happen this weekend. It might
can
have already
right
happened
now,
by the time you've heard this.
Can I say right now I regret asking you how you're doing this week?
Well, I mean, come next week, Tim, everything might be completely different for everyone.
Is this your tactic to get to talk about what you want to talk about? You just make wild accusations about lies about the way I live my life.
It's called showmanship, Tim.
God.
It's called
talking about the UFO.
A little razzmatazz on things, making making things
that I'm
little,
abusive, that I'm verbally abusive to my wife,
making things
showmanship
light
on
and
your part.
Fun. So yeah, there's going to be a segment on 60 Minutes this weekend about UFOs, and it sounds like they've talked to some pretty high level Pentagon people and some.
Who, Andy Rooney? Talk to him?
No, Andy Rooney's not in the Pentagon, Tim. I know you think that's where he went. I've tried to tell you otherwise, but
he seemed like a smart guy. He seemed like he was real plugged
in. He seemed like a smart guy, a guy that they'd want at the Pentagon making decisions.
You know what? Andy Rooney didn't seem particularly smart. I don't
no,
know.
Not at all.
Why did they give him that job? Why
at
did they
the
give
Pentagon?
Him like a,
I told you, he's not working at the Pentagon.
60 Minutes,
oh.
Tom.
Because it worked. You know, people just want to see an old man complain on television once a week. So that's how he got his job. But this has nothing to do with Andy Rooney, Tim. This is about you know, all the
Mike Wallace,
all the disclosure that's been going on around the UFO phenomenon.
And, the Michael Crichton book, yes.
No,
people have been reading that book quite a bit. It what is that? So you're saying it's like a Pentagon book club where they're reading Michael Crichton's disclosure?
I'm saying that they're you know, there was stuff in the one of these COVID relief bills where they had to, I think by June or July, like disclose, you know, what they know about a lot of this stuff. But like, I don't know. There's just like a lot of, I think what it is that they have no idea what's going on. That they're seeing right. this unidentified aerial phenomenon. That's what phenomena. That's what they call it now. It's not UFOs. It's UAPs.
Okay.
And I think, you know, what's scarier than the government has been keeping everything from us, and they knew what was going on all along. Then the what's scarier is the government coming out and being like, "Yep, yeah, we see these things too. We have never been able to get close to one. We have no idea what it is. Your guess is as good as ours."
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's not that surprising that the government, I feel like it's been revealed like, they're not as
competent
in charge as we thought they were of things.
Well, and that's what, like, whenever there are these UFO conspiracies of like, no, actually, we're part of an intergalactic federation and there's thousands of people, Americans in space right now working on our ships, and they keep it all a secret, and we have an agreement with the aliens and stuff. It's like, what about the U.S. government has ever led you to believe that they would be capable of this, especially of keeping it a secret?
Yeah, but like, why do you even have to formulate an art? Like, you're always like, and get this, what this guy said, that yeah. there's an intergalactic. It's like, yeah, it's an idiot. That's a crazy person, Tom. Yeah, you don't have to like use logic to shut him down.
You have to take, you have to be open minded with these things, Tim. So you have to.
I don't think you do.
You do. Because we don't know what these things are. Anything's possible. Maybe this guy's right. Maybe I'm the idiot.
Well,
maybe him and the rest of the people in the Intergalactic Federation are laughing at me.
What do you hope this stuff is?
I don't know.
Tom, you're fascinated by UFOs and stuff. And,
yes.
I share that fascination to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you, like, obviously you have a preferred, like, end game. Do you want it to be nothing, or do you want there to be cool aliens? Assume you don't want like angry aliens right, coming there yeah. to destroy us. But like, I don't know, isn't it scary if we're being visited by a higher life form than us, though?
It's scary, but then there's also like a reassuring.
I mean, I guess you encounter higher life forms than yourself, pretty much everyone that you encounter, right?
Uh-huh.
Higher intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
More charming.
More are you charming. Afraid
do you feel like the aliens are going to be more charming than us?
If they're charming, then we're screwed. They're going to be, you know, baking us into pies or whatever before we know it. If
a bunch of Cloonies come down?
Yeah. No, I don't have any hopes for what, I mean, I hope it's, you know, not something mean or whatever, but I don't have a like, oh, it's, you know, creatures from another planet. I want creatures from another dimension. Like, I don't really have any hopes along those lines.
But would you prefer them be like, oh, no, like if you were to believe mm-hmm. that's like, oh no, it's a weather balloon. Mm-hmm. Like, would you prefer it to just be a weather balloon or a misunderstanding, or would you prefer it to be aliens?
No. Yeah. I'd prefer it to be something, interesting like that.
Hmm.
I also think like increasingly, you know, especially like it's weird that all this is timed as like, we've got this new rover on Mars. Cause you know, it makes you think like, huh, if we send like rovers to other planets, wouldn't other civilizations probably do the same thing? And that's like kind of what I think this might be. Like, I always found it, you know, not super credible stories of like crash landings and like a bunch of bodies in found and stuff. Cause it's like, would they send people? Like, we don't do that. We're not like, let's finally go see what's on Mars for the first time. Load up the spacecraft. Hopefully there's air we can breathe. I don't know. We've never checked. Right. But it makes sense that, like, yeah, they could send some, you know, 10 foot by 10 foot, like, chrome orb that can defy the laws of physics as we understand them. And, yeah, just shoot that across the galaxy. Maybe it takes, you know, a few decades to get here or whatever. Another interesting idea that people have discussed is, because like now the thought is that whatever this is, it's on Earth and that it's been here for a really long time, like living alongside of us, either in a different dimension or under the sea or something. But people have been like, oh, if they've been here this like whole time, yo, wouldn't it be cool if, like, when, you know, they came out and it was disclosed and everything, it was like, yeah, aliens, we're here. We've been here for, like, you know, millions of years or whatever. Yo, you guys want to see videos of dinosaurs? We got videos of dinosaurs. And
yeah, but they're not going to show us.
Why wouldn't they show them to us?
Because they're not going to, Tom, they're not going to be
friendly.
They'll
put it up on pay-per-view.
Sorry to burst your bubble.
Put it up on pay-per-view. Make a little scratch for
That's
these aliens.
True.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's what this is. It's
a money-making endeavor.
Yeah.
No, but if they had, like, yeah, you know, we set up a UFO this one time just, like, over ancient Rome. And, like, here's just, you know, some footage you can just people watch in ancient Rome. And, you know, we're selling these... But what if they were like, we're selling them on DVD? It's like, well, kind of everything's streaming now, guys. I don't really have a DVD player hooked up.
Would you buy a DVD if you could buy a... would you buy a DVD player if you could purchase a DVD of dinosaurs?
Of real dinosaurs? Yes, I would go through the trouble of buying a DVD
player. You could stream Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park 2. The Lost World, the Jurassic World movies.
Can I? What service are those on?
No, you can rent them.
No, I'm not gonna rent them. Come on,
you're gonna buy a DVD and a DVD player. That's good. How much?
Yeah, but then I can watch it as many times as I want.
I bet they're special edition. Like,
oh, they're gonna put out the regular ones, and then after they're gonna be like, oh, well, we do have these ones with bonus features.
Yeah, and then you're going to buy the same thing twice.
You know, this one has a commentary track of Schlendorf and Yakrat talking. You know, they're talking about when they made this. And they've got a lot of interesting stories, a lot of behind the scenes.
I'm not interested in seeing ancient Rome. I don't need to see history. I don't really care about history.
You're not interested. You wouldn't be interested in seeing what shit was like in a different time.
Well, people were like smaller and dirty.
I don't think people were smaller and dirty.
Yeah, they were.
You're thinking of hobbits. Those books aren't real. I've told you that.
Tom, people hundreds of years ago
were
smaller than us.
Yeah. And you don't want, and you hate short people, so you don't want to see them?
I'm a regular Randy Newman, man.
Yeah. Well, they were smaller because, like, there wasn't as much stuff to eat. They didn't have, you know, all the good stuff we have now.
I'm not saying, look.
Like Pop-Tarts make people tall and strong.
I'm just saying I know the gist of it. They didn't have very good... hygienic habits, right?
Well, it was hard for them, yeah.
I know. You're telling me all the reasons why.
Well, maybe
that's cool.
You could sit down and watch this DVD and, you know, you'd have a little more empathy for these people. You'd be able to understand them better.
If I was like, hey, Tom, guess what? There's this, like, filthy dog standing on my corner. You better come and look at it. It's sickly and gross.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Like, why do you want to see that? I don't want to see some... dirty, sickly, short people walking around?
Well, you wouldn't have to... It wouldn't be that. It would probably be like the height of Rome when everybody was, like, doing well. Walking, you know, going to different orgies and feasts.
Oh, I see what you're. I know what DVDs you're looking for now. What? Oh, you've tipped your hand.
No, that's not what I would. I don't think they did that in open air where you could, you know, get a good view of it from a UFO.
You don't think they?
Yeah, maybe they did. They probably went into the old Parthenon once in a while to get down and dirty, as you so. Eloquently put it, you call them all dirt bags.
Dirty, Tom. I mean, they're dumb. I'm sorry, they didn't clean themselves.
According to Tim, ancient Romans were little dirt bags, and no DVD will change his mind.
All right, Tom, it's time to freaking rock.
Whoa,
yeah, Tom.
Please don't use
the
F word on this show, Tim.
We're a couple of rockers. Well, I'm a rocker. Would you consider yourself
you
a rocker?
You just never give me any kind of credit. You won't even say, like, yeah, you're a rocker. You like rock and roll music. You're like, oh, I don't know. Maybe you like Chopin.
Tom, first of all, I know you don't like Chopin. second of all, just because you like rock, that doesn't make you a rocker.
That's the most offensive thing
I've ever heard you say.
what makes somebody a rocker in your book, then?
You gotta rock.
All right.
You don't like rock. You should like it if you're gonna do it.
Oh, you should like it, but it's not a prerequisite. You can be a rocker, but not like rock.
Yes, yeah, some people are just
they can't help
with
it.
The gift of rocking.
Yeah, like Gigi Allen. Like,
yeah.
He couldn't help but rock.
He couldn't help but rock. I don't know if he didn't. Who didn't like to rock?
Musicians that didn't like to rock?
Yeah, I feel like Van Morrison didn't like to rock. But did Van Morrison rock?
I don't know.
I mean, I know you're a big fan of his most recent work.
No, he's one of those people that I like, no matter how many times I hear, like, oh, he's on tour, I'm never not shocked that he's, like, alive still.
Yeah. Old curmudgeonly piece of garbage.
Yeah.
I don't like people who are just like, when they're like, this guy's a genius, but he's a real piece of shit.
Yeah.
So it's just like, all right, sure. Like, I like the Velvet Underground, but people like are like, Lou Reed, man, he was just rude and shitty to everybody all the time. That's fucking cool. It's like, that guy sucks. Screw that guy.
Yeah.
Lou Reed sucks. And take it from me, a real rocker.
Well,
I can tell you.
You would know better than anybody.
Yeah, I'm the original rocker. So anyway, we're talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Tom, which is the coolest, most rockinest thing on earth. Tom, I notice you're distracted. Do you have AirPod issues?
Yeah, I was having AirPod issues for a second, but I was listening to every word. You said you hate Lou Reed.
Where do you fall on Lou Reed? Do you think he was cool because he was mean?
No, I think he sounds like he was a real dick all the time.
Yeah, people like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, like, you know, obviously, everybody talks about, like, all this cancel culture stuff all the time. But that I do like the fact that, like, as a society, we're like, you know what? I don't care how good you are. Don't be a dick. Like, just don't. Like, yeah, your stuff, like, people will still listen to it. But, like, it will hurt. You know, it'll hurt your reputation. Whereas, like, you know, if somebody's, like, a nice guy, then it's like, oh, after that person dies, people just enjoy their stuff even more. And then you hear stories about, like, hey, you know what kind of a nice guy this guy was? You don't even have to be a nice guy. Just don't be, like, I mean, people like Lou Reed seem like they went out of their way to be dicks.
Yeah. And guess what? People think that's part of the rock and roll lifestyle. That's not. Right? You know what? Courteousness is...
Hey, take it from two old rockers like us. Nothing rocks harder than being courteous.
One rocker and one guy that claims to be a rocker, but we'll see. This week we're talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
The coolest place where all the coolest rockers are. Do you know who's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Tom?
At the current moment?
All right. So there are, I think, 300 and something, 317 acts in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Okay.
How many, like, I took like a Sporkle quiz where they just,
I
like,
beg your
they
pardon? Were just, like,
do you know Sporkle, Tom?
No, I don't know Sporkle.
It's a website with a lot of quizzes on it.
Oh, okay.
And it was just like, all right, you got like 10 minutes, write as many of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame guys, and we'll tell you.
And then you send it in to them with a self-addressed stamped
351 envelope. 351 inductees. No, it's on the internet, Tom. It's wonderful. It's all like live in real time.
Yeah,
if
well,
you get something
how much
right,
is it
going to
cost
you.
Me?
Tom, something's up over there. Something's going haywire. It's all free.
Well, how can they afford to pay the people grading these tests?
I don't know, Tom.
Volunteers,
I think it might be,
maybe.
It's either it's volunteers. I think it's computers. There's computers
well, no,
involved
they
somehow.
Can. What does a computer know about rock and roll, Tim?
So, I'm filling it out. I got like the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, and I was like, like, Led Zeppelin.
The rest is anybody's guess.
It really, like, you run out real quickly. There's less off the topic. Because then, like, you're like, oh, right, the Yardbirds and Buffalo Springfield. And
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I get it. But, like, look, if we were putting in the bands, like, that, like, in the 80s, they started putting in, like, oh, every band from the 60s gets in.
Yeah.
Like, if we were still following that, it'd be like, 2021, the Toadies and Eve 6 are getting in. But,
right. Please welcome to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Lit.
Hey, those guys rock. They rocked out on Pamela Anderson Lee's giant body.
Oh, that is true. I forgot about that. Yeah, nothing. What could rock more than that?
Yeah.
What
Playboy, like, playmates? Tom.
Who set up the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Who started all this?
Tom, what year do you think they started it?
Well, you said the '80s, right?
Yeah, 83.
Oh wow, okay.
They
That's
started
earlier than I thought.
They didn't start inducting people until 1986. So I don't know what they were doing because they started it in 1983.
They just started making a big, long list. We got to think of every band.
They didn't start inducting people till 86, and they didn't even have a Hall of Fame.
Like a physical place.
A building until 1995.
Right.
So like,
I mean,
what are they doing from 1983 to 1986?
Fundraising?
Maybe. For what? For a building that
for
they
the
were going to build in
yeah.
12 years?
Well, it probably took them a long time to raise that money. They probably thought they were going to do it quicker than that.
Yeah. Well, Tom, who started it? The most rock and roll guys ever. Some record executives and lawyers.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It sounds like these guys really know how to rock.
Seems like these guys were like, let's try to make these guys relevant again so we can sell more records of theirs.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they like put entertainment lawyers in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame too. It's like,
well,
cool.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
What could be more rocking than that?
Well, it's like, you know, when you're watching like the Oscars and they're doing the In Memoriam. And then it's like, you know, a bunch of like agents and managers and lawyers and stuff in there. And it's like, I get it. They're part of the industry too. But like, I'm sitting at home. I don't know who the hell this is.
You don't tell me about him.
Yeah. Keep it to yourselves, Hollywood. Keep a few secrets.
Yeah.
Let everybody think nobody can die in Hollywood. How about that? What if one year they were like, guess what? No In Memoriam this year. We figured it out.
Everybody's just alive.
Everyone
who works in the
movies. Well, they always have, like, in the Oscars, they always have like those Scientology ads. That would be a good ad for them to buy. They were like, what if next they buy an ad right after the In Memoriam section? And they're like, what if next year there was no In Memoriam?
But this would require Scientology pivoting to claiming that they've cured death.
They have claimed that. That, like, then, you know, you get reborn in a different body or whatever.
Oh. But then you're still gonna, like, Tom Cruise is gonna be on the In Memoriam next year after his head explodes in space, right?
Yeah, after he's inevitably killed in one of these Mission Impossible movies he's currently making.
Do you think Scientology is, like, a little pissed at Tom Cruise for attempting to kill himself on on camera? Do you think they're like, dude, we kind of need you alive. You're integral to the whole thing here.
Because they point to the fact that he hasn't died. It's like, look at what Scientology can do.
Yeah, but he's going to die one of these times, Tom.
Yeah, but I think they believe, you know, their own line of bullshit.
We're gonna have footage of him, like, getting sucked into a jet engine.
Yeah, or getting chopped up by helicopter blades or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that they think it's possible. I think the true believers are like, nope. Tom Cruise is always going to live because he's so good at Scientology and he can keep risking his life. And that's a great ad for Scientology. It just occurred to me that, like, when he had that like secretly recorded meltdown about people like
COVID protocol.
Yeah. COVID, like people standing too close or not wearing masks, that alongside, you know, his, like, you're going to get this movie shut down. And if I'm not making a movie, I go home and just stand in a corner and I don't know what to do with myself. I wonder if he was also like, I'll be goddamned if I'm going to be killed by COVID on the set of a Mission Impossible movie and my entire life will be a punchline.
Yeah, no, I should die by smashing a motorcycle that's going 120 miles an hour
into the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, exactly. Another guy that was instrumental in starting the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, or I just call it the Hall, Tom.
Nice.
Another guy integral in the Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Is Jan Wenner. Do you know this guy?
No.
He's the publisher of Rolling Stone.
Oh, okay.
He's a real doof.
well, it makes sense, guys, though, that like the publisher of Rolling Stone would be involved in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, since that, like, he famously, like, fired a Rolling Stone critic. I forget who. One of those Chicago guys. For giving Hootie and the Blowfish album a bad review. He's like, you'll never write for Rolling Stone again.
This is the most important album of a generation, you fool.
Yeah. And there's also been a lot of controversy around Jan Wenner because a lot of people have accused him of lobbying to keep acts out of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that he has, like, a personal vendetta against.
Mm.
You want to know who the most notable act is?
Yeah, sure.
Peter Tork accused him of keeping the Monkees out of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because he's mad that the Monkees didn't play their own instruments on the first two albums. But Tom, the Monkees got really good after that.
Well, I was going to say, first off, it's a travesty that the Monkees aren't in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But yeah, it is like such a wild thing that the Monkees, you know, were just like a put together group. And then they were like, no, fuck this. We're going to be a real band.
Yeah. I mean, like, how hard is it to, like, be in to be a real rock band?
I don't know. Neither of us have been in the Monkees. And not for lack of trying.
Tom, you've been trying to weasel your way into the Monkees for nigh on 20 years.
One of these days, it's going to work.
That's why you killed Davy Jones, right?
I don't even know how Davy Jones died. How did he die?
Is Davy Jones dead?
I'm pretty sure Davy Jones is dead.
Yeah. I think a bunch of people were real upset about Davy Jones dying. Yeah. With good reason. He was in the Monkees.
That's the reason he died?
No, people were upset that he died. Because
I could see if, like, somebody died in the Monkees because they were in the Monkees, then that's a pretty good reason to keep him out of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
feel like after 1995, Davy Jones was just walking around in like a solid colored crew neck sweatshirt. That was his look. Maybe sometimes right. He'd wear like a painter's cap.
You know what, Tim? If that's what you say, I'm going to have to agree with you because I don't remember what Davy Jones dressed like in the mid 90s, unfortunately.
And you wonder why you never got into the Monkees, Tom.
You know what? You're right.
You got to know these things.
Maybe I wasted my life trying to get into the Monkees because if that's what it would have taken, then forget it. This episode of The Complete Guide to Everything is sponsored by BetterHelp. Tim, you ever have something you really need to get off your chest?
Constantly, Tom.
Constantly? Just walking around, you want to tell people you hate them or you love them or you know where the treasure is buried.
Interesting you went negative first, but yeah, no, there's
a
lot of things.
Love, second. And then the treasure, that's also
the positive. Treasure is the wild card.
It could be good or it could be bad. We all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start affecting us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. As everybody knows, we're big proponents of therapy on this podcast.
Love it.
We think it's something anyone can benefit from. It's not just people who've been through traumatic experiences or going through a rough patch. Even if you're doing good, maybe you can do better. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/completeguide today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/completeguide.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tom, when you think of rock and roll, what city do you think of?
Cleveland.
Detroit Rock City? Oh.
Cleveland, baby.
The rockin'est state in the world.
Cleveland's not a state.
No, Ohio.
Yes. Yeah. Cleveland's a city, you see.
Yeah, I know, Tom. I was
I learned that from
sentence.
Some of the higher life forms that I have gleaned a few nuggets from when I can understand what they're saying.
So they were like trying to figure out where they're going to put this, and they're like, should we put it in a like big city like New York or Los Angeles or Chicago, or like a city that has ties to rock and roll music like Detroit? Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, Cleveland said they'd give us $65 million worth of taxpayer funds to build our building.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure it was just whoever gave, they would have built it in Antarctica if they got the tax breaks.
Yeah. And Tom, I'm a rocker myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I like a hall serving as a shrine to rock.
Mm-hmm.
$65 million, Tom. That's ridiculous.
It's a lot of money for a building in Cleveland. Yeah. I can't imagine very many buildings in Cleveland cost $65 million to build.
It was designed by I.M. Pei.
Who's that?
He's an architect.
Oh, that well, that makes sense. I guess that that's probably where the money went. They hired an architect to do it.
Yeah. No, this guy was a real deal.
You can save a lot of money doing it yourself, but yeah, you know, I'm sure all these lawyers and record executives were like, look, I'm too busy with my day job. We're going to have to hire an architect to
I could build it. But I
do have some blueprints done, but we should probably bring somebody else in to finish them up.
So that opened in 1995. Mm-hmm. And then they opened an annex. Do you remember this? In 2008, mm-hmm. in New York City, in Soho. Do you remember this vaguely,
yeah.
It lasted a year because nobody wanted to go to it because it seemed like it sucked. But Jan Wenner said he was sad that they didn't do it in New York City in the first place, and that set off a shitstorm of controversy.
Well, yeah, well, why would you even say that?
Because he's controversial, Tom. Yeah, well, he's cool.
It certainly sounds like it.
I bet he was wearing a leather jacket when he said it.
Well, then, you know, it's like, oh, I wish we had built it in New York City. Well, then you should have, asshole. Like,
yeah, you were in charge.
Yeah, see, you couldn't afford it, so you built it in Cleveland. But you could have gotten, I don't know, try and get more money.
Yeah, sorry you wound up in Ohio.
Yeah, but don't be all sour grapes about it now.
Yeah.
And don't put a dumb annex in New York City and be like, yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah, it just had, like, stupid stuff in it, too. You know what's on display in the Cleveland Hall of Fame and Museum?
Well, you know what? I actually don't have, like, a great idea of exactly what's on display.
It's, like, I know it's like, and yeah,
instruments
and,
yeah, you know, clothes people wore.
Well, do you know the rock and roll DJ?
Specifics, I don't know.
Do you know the rock and roll DJ Alan Freed?
No.
He was from Cleveland, and that's kind of the, like, he was instrumental in getting it there. He's like, I was one of the first rock and roll DJs. I'm sure he said he was the first rock and roll DJ. And it's like, perhaps you've heard of the Big Bopper or Wolfman Jack.
I was going to say Wolfman Jack. Yeah, you know, what did Wolfman Jack have to say about this?
But he was you know, lobbying for it. And I think that was the excuse that they used. They were like, it's not his fault. Millions of dollars of taxpayer funds. It's the fact that DJ Alan Freed was from Cleveland.
And we were going to build it in New York City, but Alan Freed said, no way, Jose, you got to build this in Cleveland. And we had no choice.
Well, anyway, Tom, you can go and see his ashes, which are on display at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum.
Can I see the actual ashes or just an urn?
Because
I'll go to Cleveland if it's like, hey, check it out. We've just scattered a bunch of ashes behind a display.
It's in an urn. In those urns, there's fragments of the urns easy to topple over. Yeah, I mean, probably. But there's like bones in there and stuff, right?
Yeah, when you cremate somebody, like, you don't get everything. Think about, like, you know, anytime you've made like a campfire. Where, like, one
burned something, it burned a person in it.
No, just like burned wood. But, like, when it's done, you're like, oh, look at that. Yeah, a little bit of the wood. Like, even though it was right in the middle of that fire, it just didn't burn completely.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a little hotter than a campfire.
Depends on the way you make the campfire.
Build a big campfire. That burns brightly for about 45 seconds and you use all the wood. Every time I've been camping with you, you're just like, we need to build this up. And everybody's like, no, stop. That's all of our wood.
Yeah, but then everybody's like, you know what, Tom, that was a real good time. Now I have memories of that big bonfire. Well, I mean, burning wood is also a lot easier than burning a human body.
Right. Also on display at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Museum in Cleveland a piece of a charred piece of Otis Redding's airplane that crashed and he died in.
That's fucked up. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's not a piece of rock and roll history.
I mean, it is.
It technically is, I guess, but it's like, I don't know, that air was, did he own that plane?
He might have.
Yeah. But I mean, even still, like, I don't know, put other stuff if it's in there. Don't just put in, like, you know, if he had died in a car crash, would they have been like, here's part of the, here's the bumper from the Ford he was in when he died?
Yeah. Would you go and see the outfit that he died in?
I mean, I assume if it was on display, it wouldn't be too gruesome.
Well, it would be on a mannequin of his, like, gnarled body.
No, I wouldn't. You know what, Tim? I wouldn't be interested in seeing that. Again, I don't think that has much to do with rock and roll.
Well, that sounds pretty rock and roll, actually, Tom. But you do want to see ashes and bone fragments scattered on the floor.
Yeah, it's a little more tasteful.
Yeah.
Not on the floor. It can be behind glass.
All right, Tom. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is in the news right now, because some new inductees were just announced.
Yeah, every year they induct new people, and you have to have been rocking for at least 25 years, right?
Here is the, yeah, it's 26 years after the release of your first record, you are eligible.
Okay. Does it have to be like an album, or can it be a single?
It can be a single. It can be an EP.
What about a SoundCloud?
I don't know.
Well, I guess you haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, and they're never going to. Yeah, exactly. When did SoundCloud start?
Not 25 years ago.
Maybe. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out. Obviously not 25 years.
But they're, you know, we're coming up on probably some people where it's like my first release was leaked to Napster.
Mm.
And now is that going to count?
Probably not.
Yeah, probably
also,
not.
Also, like, what debut albums were leaked?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there were some. But yeah, I'm sure.
Name one notable one.
I'm sure it's just like, yeah, you know what? That's a technicality. Just wait till next year. Then you'll be eligible for real.
Tom, there's two first ballot inductees this year.
Mm. And that means it was the first time they were eligible.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just an automatic in.
Right.
According to the who votes on this?
The previous members and a bunch of, like, industry fucks.
Okay. Well, I know one of them was Foo Fighters, that this was the first year they were eligible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
People are complaining, like, are they really? It's like, they're as good as the most band. Like, I'm not saying that they're better than the friggin' Yardbirds. Come on.
Well, yeah, and, like, they are one of the few, like, you know, pure rock and roll bands, like, still putting out albums, I think.
Right.
You know, I mean, and, you know, that's part of what makes them so boring, but they are at least still doing that.
Yeah, and, like, I don't know, they had two good albums in, mm-hmm. Look, all of, we all know this is all politicking, and this
oh,
is like,
yeah, yeah.
Dionne Warwick started that Twitter account where she hires people to be sassy on her behalf, and you know, it was like politicking to get into the, because she was nominated, she didn't make it in, mm-hmm. But like, this is what people do. They campaign for this stuff just like they do for, like, Oscar wins.
Right. It's not necessarily like, all right, everybody, just vote on what's best. It's like, no, vote on, like, who's been good to you, who's, like, made you promises in the future, who's made you money, who stands to make you more money.
Yeah. And Dave Grohl is friends with, like, Paul McCartney. He brings, like, Brian Johnson from AC/DC out in concerts to sing songs.
Yeah.
He does every single benefit, like, the concert. He'll do any friggin' music documentary.
I was going to say, he'll be in any music documentary you ask him. He'll come in and he could have never even heard about who it is, but he'll have some stories.
Yeah, and he's always charming and funny when he tells these stories. And people are like, well, how dare they honor his band for this industry thing? Like, no shit. He's charmed everyone in the industry.
Yeah, I mean, he is a politician of the rock and roll world of just like has worked tirelessly to make as many people like him as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it's the same thing with the Baseball Hall of Fame. That's all political. It's all like, you know, well, I'm not, this person might be one of the best, players that's ever played the game, but one time they, you know, were an asshole to me at a party, so I'm never voting for them. You know, the people voting are people still. But to answer your question, Tim, I don't know who the other one was, the other inductee, the first time ballot.
I know, because you don't think what this artist does is music. You say rap music, more like crap music.
It's Jay-Z.
It's Jay-Z.
Yeah. Now, I read something, though, that they said, like, he, you know, I get, because of the ballots, like, he was actually in, like, last place, but he still got inducted.
Why do you have to take it away from him? Who
cares?
No,
I'm saying I don't know what that means, and I don't. Is it something?
It
where
sounds
it's like,
to me like you're trying to smear a man because you don't care for his genre of music.
No, I'm saying I'm asking. All joking aside, Tim, that
Tom, I'm dead serious.
That it sounds to me like, you know, the people that get to vote are probably like a bunch of old fuddy duddies. But then they're voting, maybe, this is what I'm asking, like, does it only count so much? But then, like, the people at the top are like, no, of course Jay-Z gets in. Look at how many albums he sold. Look how influential he is.
I think you might be maybe mixing him up with the other hip-hop inductee this year, LL Cool J, who did not get in on a normal ballot.
Well, no.
He got in as the Musical Excellence Award.
Yeah, and they said he had been up for it like 6 times.
Yeah, and with him, it's like he's so influential and was so early on that they feel like a lot of voters and a lot of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame pundits, Tom, believe that him not being in there is holding back people
like,
who are like influenced
other,
by him from getting in, because it's like, well, we can't vote them in until we get LL Cool J in there. So they just like circumvent this, where this is where like they also
but he got
inducted
in,
Billy Preston and Randy Rhoads.
Yeah.
It's not people voting. They weren't like, nominated.
But
it's just like a committee
lesser.
Was like,
it's like
they
an
should be
honorable mention type thing.
It's a Musical Excellence Award, but it all goes into the same pipe, Tom.
All right. Well, yeah, but it still feels like you want, I don't know, you want to be voted in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure LL doesn't feel great about, like, cool, I was nominated 6 times, and then finally they were like, we're going to get you in on a technicality.
Tom? It's funny you say that, because a lot of people, or some acts, don't necessarily want to be voted in.
They want to get in on that, on a technicality.
No, they don't want to be in at all, Tom.
Uh-huh.
Can you think of the coolest band in the world that would get inducted, but reject the nomination and write a really scathing letter about it?
Was it Oasis?
Nope. They would take that in a second. They would love that.
Morrissey?
The Sex Pistols, baby. They're dangerous. Ugh.
Yeah.
They wrote, I think it was like 2006 they got in, and they wrote an open letter, and they said, next to the Sex Pistols, rock and roll in that Hall of Fame is a piss stain, which is actually pretty good. I like that. And then they also wrote, we're not coming and we're not your monkeys. And it's like, nobody really cares about the Sex Pistols.
Yeah. It was like, all right, this is going to be a chance for you to, like, I don't know, get some publicity for your next tour if you don't want to. I mean, that's the thing, too. Like, they were still inducted, though, right?
Yeah. They read that letter, and it was all like, you know, and they were like, oh, I can't believe they read that letter about how they're piss.
Yeah. Well, that, I mean, that's a great, that, yeah, that's the best way to kind of disarm that kind of response of like, oh yeah, we'll read your letter. Like,
but that's what everybody wanted out of it. That's what the Sex Pistols thought. They looked dangerous, even though it was 2006, and that's the lamest thing. And the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is like, this is a true punk rock moment, and we're playing into it.
Yeah.
Look, it's cool. What I'm saying is it's cool, Tom. It's very, very cool.
What I'm saying is, you know, the idea of like, we're not going to be your monkeys. It's like, well, I don't know. That doesn't seem like they were asking to be their monkeys. They were just going to give you a bunch of free publicity. And like Johnny Rotten's doing like commercials or whatever for nonsense. Like, I don't know. They long ago lost their... their punk leg to stand on.
They were never cool. Axl Rose, Tom, also, when Guns N' Roses got in.
Oh, I do remember that.
He said, vaguely. I strongly request... He, like, had a lawyer write a statement. I strongly request that I not be inducted in absentia, and please know that no one is authorized, nor may anyone be permitted to accept any induction for me or speak on my behalf. Neither former members, label representatives, nor the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame should imply, whether directly, indirectly, or by omission, that I am included in any purported induction of Guns N' Roses. That's cool.
How would they do it by omission?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Axl Rose is cool. Like, that's a cool way of doing it.
Yeah, I agree that even though it seems counter... it's cooler to send, like, a lawyer-written letter than a, like, oi, fuck you, mate. Where it's like, nah, you still, like, sat down and did this. Where it's like Axl Rose told somebody, like, nah, fuck them. Write a letter and, you know, on legal stationery about this that I'll threaten to sue.
Do you think Axl Rose was like, maybe we should send this lawyerly statement and then maybe I should try to sue because this would be a nice way to get some cash. I'd like to sue the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'd
you
like
could,
some of that
Tim.
Money.
Nothing's stopping you. I mean, aside from not
really
having
ashes of Alan Freed.
Yeah. You didn't cremate these ashes well enough and they weren't in an urn. And as a result, I'm in this neck brace.
Exactly.
Was Axl Rose's whole thing just that, like, he hates the music industry?
I think it was, I don't know what his whole thing is. He's cool these days, though. I like him. Everybody made fun of him because he got, the work done. Who cares?
Oh,
he's gotta stay as beautiful as he ever was, and he succeeded.
Well, I think the thing with him, too, was, like, he put on weight and got older, which is a normal thing to do, but he had been out of the public eye for so long that, you know, to some people it was shocking.
Yeah.
But no, he's, like, it sounds like he's a relatively cool dude nowadays.
Mm-hmm. You know who's not a cool dude these days or in the past? Probably any day of his life. Famous Beach Boy villain Mike Love.
Well, when you say famous Beach Boy villain, it sounds like he was plotting against the Beach Boys.
I mean, in a way.
You would call the Joker a famous Batman villain.
Yeah, because he's a villain that appeared in Batman comics.
Right. Oh,
Mike Love is a villain that appeared in Beach Boy comics.
In Beach Boys albums. Why does Mike Love not want to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
No, he wanted to be in the Rock and Roll
Hall
of Fame.
Oh, okay, yeah. Switching gears. But he wanted to be alone, not with the Beach Boys?
No, he just did. All right, so the Beach Boys were inducted, I think, in 1988. So,
early on.
I think third class, yeah.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And Brian Wilson was just out of, like... Remember, he was under the spell of that, like, evil psychiatrist who, like, you know, gave him all these drugs and controlled him for a while.
So you gotta be careful of that.
Landry, was that his name? Doctor, whatever. And he was just out from under the spell and like recovering from addiction and like,
yeah.
And like, you
yeah,
know,
going through a
Brian
hard time.
Wilson has never been, you know, the same. And so he was reading this heartfelt speech, but like very newly like reintegrating into polite society.
Right.
And like reading.
Probably
and,
reading it very robotically.
Exactly. But like this really heartfelt and like he was the freaking Beach Boys. And then Mike Love is like pacing around impatiently behind him and every once in a while like grabs the microphone to like make a quip and nobody likes it when he does that and Brian Wilson just looks confused. And then when Brian Wilson's done, Mike Love steps up to the mic because of course everyone wants to hear from him. Yeah.
He have his hat on?
Yeah, he had a Beach Boys hat on.
Cool.
And he was pissed, apparently, because Paul McCartney, the Beatles were getting in, and Paul McCartney didn't show up because he and Yoko Ono were suing each other over some shit. Yeah. And Mike Love made this angry, drunken speech, just ripping everybody apart. He said, "The Beach Boys did about 180 performances last year. I'd like to see the Mop Tops match that. The Beatles broke up 18 years earlier, and one of them's dead."
Yeah. Did he expect Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, and George Harrison to be like, "Ooh, you just threw down the gauntlet, pal. That's it. The Beatles are reunited because Mike Love called us out."
And these 180 performances were at like county fairs and like small town summer concert series.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure Paul McCartney had probably done around that number of appearances, you know, sold out arenas that year as well.
I'd like to see Mick Jagger get out on this stage and do
and
I
Ringo,
Get Around.
Ringo toured relentlessly for a long time.
We'll get to Ringo in a second. He also said, "I'd like to see Mick Jagger get out on this stage and do I Get Around versus Jumpin' Jack Flash any day now."
What?
I don't know what that means. And I'd like to see some people kick out the jams, and I challenge the boss to get up get on stage and jam. And everybody was kind of like, "What's his? Why is he so angry at everybody? What's happening?"
Well, and also like, you know, this is the late 90s and you're like challenging Mick Jagger and Bruce Springsteen. Like, I bet you can't even perform anymore. Where it's like, these people are bigger than they've ever been.
It was the late 80s. Yeah, they were in their. I want to see Billy Joel see if
he can
still...
Oh, this is the late 80s, not the late 90s?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, then yeah, even more.
He said, "I want to see Billy Joel see if he can still tickle ivories." Yeah, he was... It's 1988. It was Joel Mania.
Yeah, every album had sold exponentially more than the last. Meanwhile, the Beach Boys are the only act out of that like weren't putting out new work.
Kokomo came out a couple years earlier.
Yeah, I guess.
"I know Mick Jagger won't be here tonight. He's going to have to stay in England, but I'd like to see us in the Coliseum and he at Wembley Stadium because he's always been chicken shit to get on stage with the Beach Boys."
Why? What? Under what circumstances has he even had the opportunity to get on? He comes and sees so many of our shows, and when I call him out from the crowd, he gets so nervous, and he says, "No, I can't do it, mate. I can't do it. I can't get up there."
And Mick Jagger was at that ceremony when Mike Love was like, "He's too chicken shit, he's staying in England."
Man.
He was like probably in the second row.
I would love to just be a fly on the wall for like a conversation between Mike Love and Mick Jagger. Imagine if it's just like these two, it's just going to be the two of them. They're going to talk for 10 minutes. You get to listen. Nobody else is there. Nobody's going to be able to save Mick Jagger, like come over and be like, "Oh, they're, you know, the president's on the phone for you," or whatever. Like, nope. He's just got to sit there and listen to Mike Love and answer his accusations and questions.
You know, Mike Love and freaking Johnny Rotten, in their MAGA hats.
They should
have a lot to say to each other in 2021.
Yeah, they should start their own traveling Wilburys-esque supergroup.
could also get Van Morrison in there.
And you can get Morrissey.
Ted Nugent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at this. I would stay in line overnight at Ticketmaster to get tickets to see this.
You don't
group,
have to do that anymore.
The super
John.
Group. Well, I would insist on doing it.
They always find the ways to induct the same people multiple times. Like all the Beatles are in twice.
Yeah.
Right? So,
well, for... and I saw Tina Turner where I was like, Tina Turner wasn't in already, but she was, but with Ike.
Yeah. The man who abused her for,
yeah. Which is, yeah. But then it's absurd that she wasn't in sooner.
Yeah.
Especially because, you know, she had a ton of freaking hits after him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's long overdue.
Yeah.
But so they Pat Benatar's not in, and that's fucked up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How long has she been eligible?
Since, I don't know, 2000, you know.
Wow. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Freaking... There's one person who's in it three times.
Who's that?
Slowhand himself. The free. It's part of the freaking Yardbirds.
And it's part Cream.
Of Cream. And then
him.
Solo. Tears in Heaven, baby. How do you deny that?
Why? Yeah. Why three times?
Eric Clapton. I mean, did I say his name?
You didn't say his name. I mean, I guess it makes sense. But
and
again,
Pat Benatar's not in once.
Shouldn't be in there.
Gives a shit about the Yardbirds.
We're like, I get it. Cream has to be in there. He has to be in there. But like, I don't know. It's like, you know, but you skipped over
what
Tina Turner
in,
because it was, oh, we already have her and Ike in there.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Tom, real quick, I just want to talk about these induction ceremonies.
Dave Grohl's in there twice now, too.
Yeah. There's a few, there's a bunch of,
a few doubles.
Yeah. And all the Beatles and like they put in Ringo as a solo artist in 2015.
Yeah, cause it was just like, wow,
we've milked everything. The yeah. Beatles.
How can we get a Beatle to show up at our ceremony
yeah.
again?
and it, basically it's like, maybe Paul will come if we put Ringo in.
Wings isn't in there, or is Paul in there three times?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think Wings is in.
Hmm.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I asked it.
Yeah. Wow.
And let's take a long extended break while you check.
It took 2 seconds.
Tim, time is money on the internet.
It's not, Tom.
A lot of
Tom,
very...
Tom, I was talking before, and you got up and walked around your room.
A lot of influential...
Nowhere near the microphone.
A lot of stockbrokers listen to this show, Tim, and they're waiting to execute trades, but they've got to finish the latest episode first.
So the live performances at these induction ceremonies, they always kind of stink because, like... It's all people who are like...
You didn't find out if Wings is in there?
I just said they're not.
Oh, they're not. I didn't hear that. I wasn't listening.
I know. You were yelling at me. You're a bad person.
Now the tables are turned.
I think just like deep down, we need to acknowledge that you're not a good person.
Deep down, I'm a bad person?
Yes.
All right.
You just like to tear other people down.
All right, what
will
about
you acknowledge
me?
This?
No, I'm not going to acknowledge that deep down I'm a bad person. Fuck you.
If you like this show, you can find out more.
What were you going to say about the performances?
I'm sorry. No, I thought I was typing too much. And
well, you finished
you asked
up
if
the
Wings
typing,
was in there.
So let's hear
I
it.
I answered you, and then you yelled at me for looking it up and then said I didn't answer you.
Yeah.
All right.
But then I admitted I wasn't listening.
It's always like Paul Schaefer and a bunch of people.
Oh,
like,
yeah. It's the backing band.
Yeah, and then the bands come out. And it's always bands that like either hate each other and like have no like chemistry on stage anymore?
Yeah, often, or not often, but there have been a lot of cases where it's like, this is the first time they've played together in, yeah, you know, 20 years.
And they play their songs like either too fast or too slow.
Yeah.
They don't make eye contact. And they all look like there's always one guy that's like thrilled. Real, like, it's usually the drummer, yeah, that like, hey, we're all back together. We're this back. Is great.
My old life is coming back. This is fantastic.
Yeah. Then everybody else looks like they have like a sniper rifle trained on them.
And that, yeah, and that one band member, the drummer or bassist, is backstage like, so guys, what do you think? A new tour?
Yeah, and I don't know. It's either that or it's just like, yeah, we've been touring this whole time and putting out bad albums for the last 20 years.
And we'd like to play a little of that for you now.
Yeah, and I don't know. And it's... you know, you're getting people past their prime because, like,
yeah. Oh, yeah,
you got to be at least 46 years old to be
yeah,
inducted there. And, like, you're not going to rock that hard. But then this Prince guitar solo was it 2004?
George Harrison's induction?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Prince was inducted that
oh, okay,
too,
yeah,
he was there.
I was gonna say, otherwise I'm shocked that he would show up to anything.
2004. You know what, that guitar solo is good.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I like guitar solos, because everybody talks about how, like, people who don't even like music have all weighed in about how that guitar solo changed their life, and I yeah, and like people are speaking so highly, and I'm just like, it's good. I don't know. I think I've seen Prince play other guitar solos that are just as good.
I was gonna say, those people need to rent Purple Rain or just watch more Prince. He's very good. Prince was like phoning it in that day, and it was still, you know, phenomenal. I won't take that away, but it's like, oh, Prince was always that good. Like, go check out his other stuff.
Yeah. But he threw the guitar up and it never came down, and now he's in heaven with the guitar.
Finally.
So they say on Twitter.
Now, you could see from one angle the guy who caught the guitar. He is like a guy. He had a guy, mm-hmm, who would catch the guitar.
He did that at like every show.
It's one of
his bodyguards. Yeah.
And it was, you know, like that's what made him such an amazing showman, that he had these choreographed, you know, like, what's his name? James Brown with the, you know, putting the cape over, mm-hmm, him. Like, you know, that showmanship. That's putting a little razzmatazz into it. Throw up a guitar and you don't care where it lands, but secretly, you know, some big burly guy's gonna catch it, and if he doesn't catch it, you're gonna scream at him and fire him.
Tom, the world is lucky that we're here to debunk the common wisdom that was a really good guitar solo, and that was a cool trick he did with it by throwing his guitar in the air. It's a good thing we're here to be like, look, guys, it was fine. It was good, but he had a lot of good guitar solos, and a big guy caught his guitar.
He didn't go up to heaven. I'm just saying, look, I actually just watched it again the other day because they put out like a director's cut.
Yeah, which is, when have you ever gotten a director's cut of some performance from...
Of an induction ceremony.
Yeah.
You should see the director's cut of my high school graduation, Tim. It's fucking crazy. Different angles. You didn't know that Prince was right off stage the whole time. No, it was great. It's just the people that, yeah, talk breathlessly about it. I hope that it inspired them to listen to more Prince and check out more Prince stuff, because I don't know. I feel like anyone that was already a fan of Prince could still like it and still appreciate it and love it. But it was like not a like, he's never done this before.
Yeah,
it's like, no, that's his thing. That's why he's fucking Prince.
I want to see these people just mind blown when they hear Bat Dance for the first time.
Yeah. Or when they hear him playing Best of You during the Super Bowl. as just like a passive aggressive fuck you at Foo Fighters for covering his song without permission. And meanwhile, they were like, that was the coolest thing that's ever happened to us. That was not a like, oh, he got even with us. He played one of our songs without permission in front of the biggest audience in the world.
Yeah, Prince wasn't very good at revenge.
No, he wasn't. I think there were a lot of things like that with Prince that, like, I don't know, he thought, like, I think because he got so irritated by certain things, he thought, like, everybody's like this, so if I do this, and it's like, well, no, if you do it, it's an honor. People aren't going to be mad about it.
Foo Fighters are going to play my song. I'll show them. I'll play their song.
Yeah. And they're like, that's the most amazing outcome we could have ever imagined. If you like the show, you can find out more at tcgt.com. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/completeguide. Follow us on Twitter @completeguide. Follow us on Instagram @tcgte. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram @TomReynolds.
Follow me @YourPalTim.
If you like the show, check out our sponsors. That helps. Also, check out patreon.com/completeguide for our secondary podcast, Books the Podcast. Tim, this week, we're kicking off 1984. Hey, we're going to party like it's 1984.
Mm.
See, that's an allusion to Prince by George Orwell. George Orwell's second induction into Books the Podcast.
Oh, yeah. We did Animal Farm.
Yeah. Which he wrote before, it was the book before 1984. That's a pretty good back-to-back.
What a run.
Yeah.
That's like self-titled followed by Color in the Shape right there. That's going to earn him really some acclaim.
Yeah, the thing was after that, George Orwell wrote like 12 albums that weren't very good. Had maybe one or two good songs, but the rest was all filler. One or two good chapters and then just a bunch of filler chapters or chapters that were just like other chapters he had written before. Anyway, 1984 by George Orwell, Books the Podcast, patreon.com/completeguide.
Anybody will understand your extended George Orwell Foo Fighters metaphor.
You know what? For true fans will understand it, and they'll go sign up at patreon.com/completeguide.
Full disclosure, I wanted to do this this topic
mm-hmm.
because the Foo Fighters got inducted, and I was hoping to backdoor like a Foo Fighters Part 2.
Yeah, for anybody that doesn't know, Foo Fighters Part 1 is one of our most poorly received episodes ever.
Unfairly maligned, if you ask
me. Well, me and you got too into the weeds. It was not for even a casual Foo Fighters fan, let alone somebody who didn't like Foo Fighters.
God forbid we put out a complete guide one week. Jesus Christ.
God, we gotta keep the bosses happy. We gotta, or else, we're gonna lose our name.
Yeah. So once every 10 years, we're going to do something where we actually talk about the topic comprehensively and everybody will complain.
And it'll be a topic none of you want to hear about. Are we going to go to Cleveland to cheer on the Foo Fighters?
I would like to. October 30th.
Okay. Ooh, spooky.
Yeah. Well, almost spooky.
Well, that's Devil's Night, Tim. Dangerous.
Ooh, no, a perfect night for rocking.
That's true. Satan himself might show up.
This is why I don't think you're a rocker. It's because you don't worship the devil like the rest of us.
We'll see you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.